Hello, everyone.
Hi.
It's us, and we're back.
This is episode 81 of Catnaps and Cognac.
Oh my gosh, episode 81.
81.
Who do you think we are?
We're only Catnaps and Cognac.
That's right. And we are your hosts. I'm Dee Dee.
And I'm Arielle.
And again, this is episode 81 of Catnaps and Cognac. If you are a return listener, thank you so much for coming back and listening to us. And if this is your first time catching the show, we want to thank you for joining us, and we'll hope that you'll go back and check out the other 80 episodes that we have.
Yes, and you know what? We should give a special shout out to one of our new listeners. She goes by her name, which is Shanique, and she listened to us yesterday and she gave us some feedback on Twitter, and it is so appreciated.
It definitely is. Thank you so much for checking us out.
Yes, thank you so much. She herself has her own blog. It is rantraverandom.com, and that is also her Twitter name. So follow her, and if you want like social media stuff, that's her. And thanks again for listening.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right. So how are you?
Oh, well, I'm good. How about you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I worked out for a little bit right before this, and it made me tired. So, yeah.
Well, good. At least you're working out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For today. Let's hope I do this tomorrow.
Well, hopefully you'll keep it up.
Yeah.
As far as me, I'm fine. Not much is going on over here. It was kind of cold today.
Yeah.
What was the joke?
Girl, I have no clue.
I was like, I didn't get the memo.
This is super upsetting.
Cause yesterday it was really hot.
Yesterday?
Was it yesterday or maybe the day before? No, the day before yesterday was really hot.
This weather is so jacked up, and it's like, yeah, we'll be saying this for years to come, unfortunately, that right. The weather is so jacked up. It's like, I'm not even surprised anymore.
And I am so sick of the weather app. It stinks.
It does. And you know what? I feel like every single meteorologist is like using the same weather app because they all say the same thing, right. And they're all wrong.
All wrong. What is going on?
I don't know, bruh. I'm not impressed. As you like to say.
I'm not impressed at all. At all. Because, like, it doesn't even tell you that it's going to rain and you're not expecting rain. So then you go outside and it's sprinkling, drizzling. Not even, like, you know, it's not just like a mist.
Right.
It is like heavy drizzling. And you're not prepared because you don't have to worry about it.
Heavy drizzling?
Yeah, it's a heavy drizzle because it's not like a full-on rain, but if you go out there without your umbrella and you're walking all the way to the train, you're going to be soaked.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
Not at all. Anyway.
We didn't guess it.
Woo! He wasn't wrong.
All right. Let's get into some rumors.
Yes, let's get into it. What do we have?
All right, so we've been watching Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. You've been watching it, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and this cast is completely, like, salacious and all that bad, good stuff.
Oh, man.
So there's a whole love triangle going on between Ray J and his girlfriend, Princess Love. Nah, nah, nah. We talked about Princess Love and their little triangle, right?
Did we?
I don't know. Well, either way, his girlfriend's name is Princess Love, but he used to date singer Tierra Marie off and on for 10 years. So in between that time, he had the reality shows. He was with Kim Kardashian. Like, he was with Whitney Houston. Like, oh, all this stuff. And I guess Tierra Marie was like just in and out of his life, and they broke up and they haven't spoken to each other for about 8 months. This was like during the filming of the show. And so we see him on the show in the last episode, and Tierra Marie, she's been like bugging him to bring her back her stuff. And he brings it to her while she is actually getting his name covered up that she had tattooed on her body. And he brings this box and he dumps it out at the tattoo parlor and was like, here's your stuff back. All right. Pretty much like, are you happy now? And Brandy, his sister, because again, this is who we know him for, is being Brandy's little brother. She said that she's very disappointed in how her brother handled the whole Tierra Marie situation. I guess it might be on the next episode or whatever. And she said, sometimes I can't believe we have the same mom and dad. It's unbelievable. You have no business going there to begin with. That was stupid. That's what was whack. That was a tit for tat with, for somebody you're not even with. You put yourself in situations you don't have to be in. At some point, you have to tell yourself, like, I'm a man now. I'm an adult. In order to see different results in your life, you got to do different things. You have to stay focused on what's going to make you better, what's going to continue to uplift you. That's what you have to focus on. And I completely agree.
Yeah. He was way out of line.
Yeah.
And it's like, grow up. I don't know. I just don't like the way he handled the situation at all. And then he got really childish and was like, oh, you know, he started to talk about the scent of her lady parts. And
he's like 33.
Yeah, grow up. And my thing is, it's like, you know what? She had a valid point on the episode when the girl was like, oh, you got yeast infection cream and stuff like that. Well, yeah, when you out there cheating around with a whole bunch of other people and you may bring stuff back home, yeah, that's what happens. I don't know. He was talking about, I don't know. I don't want to get into it because it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
But it's just like, grow up, Ray J. You know, and you know what? Tierra Marie, she is a hothead. I'm not going to take
a complete hothead.
However, that night, she didn't instigate it. Princess did.
No, she didn't. You're right.
She was talking to Ray J. Cool, calm, and collected. Was like, look, you need to cut me a check. However, it was cheeky what she was saying to him. She was very cool, calm, and collected. And then his girlfriend came over, Princess came over, and instigated the situation. And that's how it got escalated.
Right. She put the stuff on Instagram and and all of that. So unnecessary.
For him to react the way that he did, like throwing the stuff on the floor, you know, and embarrassing him in front of all those people, that wasn't necessary because she wasn't the one who messed up his party. If his girlfriend would have just stayed in her lane and whatever, just stayed over there and kiki with her friends in the corner, then it wouldn't have been the issue.
And honestly, if we want to keep it 100, he shouldn't have invited her in the first place.
That too.
Why are you inviting your ex-girlfriend to your launch party? Like, I remember that parody they said to his LinkedIn party. Why are you inviting your ex that you haven't seen in 8 months? Like, what would she do there for you?
Right.
Especially if, like, you know and your assistant knows that she has a history of being reckless and doing all this other kind of stuff, like, in public spaces, then why would you even, like, entertain the idea of that? And granted, she did not start the fight at his launch party, but, like, why was she even there?
Right.
Be mad at yourself.
What was her purpose? What was her purpose? You wanted foolishness to happen.
Right.
You wanted it to happen. Right. And, I mean, maybe Mona was behind it and told him that he needed to invite her. Because, I mean, that party looked really boring. First of all, let's talk about these parties. These are the quietest parties I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
How is it that Nia and Soulja Boy were at a big-ass club where apparently music was supposedly playing and they were whispering with one another about moving in with each other?
They have to get all of that so we can hear everything. So everyone, it's literally like quiet on the set. Like,
it really is. That's what it has to be.
So I heard, this was, I want to say, like, at a, like, the, maybe the New York Love and Hip Hop party or Gossip Game when Gossip Game was on last year. My coworkers, they went to the premiere party for where they watched a couple episodes or whatever. And they said that it was like that, that, like, they didn't really have music going on. It was just really quiet. It was, like, brighter than normal. But there were just, like, so many, the cameras were everywhere. It was just, like, not a natural party. Like, that party was literally put in place for the Gossip Game, but not to watch the show, if that makes sense. Like, we're here just to grab this footage, and we want you guys in the background. So we're going to invite bloggers and entertainment tastemakers and whoever that needs to be at this party so we can get this footage for the show and put it in there. So when Miss Drama is having problems with Angela Yee or whatever the fuck was going on, then, you know, we'll have that footage, because otherwise, who would care about Miss Drama? Like, I never even heard of her. You know what I mean? So it's like, why would I want to go to a RayJ.com launch party? Like, he doesn't have that already? Like, what?
Right. Why is that just now being launched?
Why is that just now being launched? Like, who is Nia Riley? I mean, like, I wouldn't know that she was Teddy Riley's daughter if they did not tell us or whatever. Like, who would go? Who would be like, okay, I'm looking at this flyer. It's Nia Riley's birthday party. Who the hell is Nia Riley? Like, unless I lived around that way. Like, yeah, maybe I'm not going, you know? So, I don't know. It's all silly.
It is silly. It's dumb. But further speaking about Ray J, so if you guys have watched the show, he has an assistant. Her name is Morgan. Yeah. And it seems like they have since fallen out since the show has aired. And apparently she said something pretty nasty on Instagram on Wednesday. And she was alluding to the fact, basically, that he had put hands on her. Mm-mm-mm. So she said that. Hold on, I'm just waiting for my page to load. But she said something, I'll get you guys the verbatim what she Instagrammed, but she Instagrammed something and then later quickly deleted it. And she was saying how she was sick of fuck niggas, basically, who will always put their hands on a woman, but will never fight a man, and that he had put his hands on her in front of her son and threatened to kill her. In front of her son, and she was just like, wow, in front of my son. And then she deleted it, and then she put up another post, you know, talking about some, you know, leave the things in the past, that whatever, you know, that inspirational shit that they like to do after they do something stupid.
Oh my gosh, I said the same exact thing.
It's just dumb.
It's like, why do they put that and then delete it? And then, like, their next post is always going to be about God, or, like, these haters are my motivators, or, like, something stupid.
Like, whatever. Own up to your shit. I hate when they delete it. I really do hate when they delete posts. It's like, you said it. You said what you said.
Right.
So, just leave it up there. What are you hiding from? If you felt bold enough to say it, then you should just feel bold enough to keep it up there.
Right.
Don't be worried about, you know, lawyers and shit afterwards. You should have thought about that before you put it up there.
And especially being now that you're really in the public eye, because I never heard of her until this show. So, of course, you're going to get, she has, like, over almost 70,000 followers on Instagram now.
Wow.
So, like, no matter what you do, these people are watching you. They're waiting to like your picture. They're people on Instagram at all times of the day.
Right.
So it takes nothing, but sometimes I see screenshots where it says, like, 2 seconds ago. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it takes nothing for people to take a screenshot immediately of whatever you do and then pass that around. Like, whether you delete that shit or not, like, it's out there. Yeah.
People love screenshots now. It is really the era of the screenshots. I mean, they see something, they don't even have to fully read the whole thing. They're just taking a picture of it immediately because they know they're going to be able to use it for ammo.
Yeah.
And so this is what she said. Tell the real reason I don't fuck with you and why I don't work for you, because you put your hands on me in front of my child talking about you're going to have me killed. Wow. All in front of my son. You drunk ass nigga. Go get some help, because I'm not the only one you're beating on. How's that for some tea? 10 years of book loyal to the wrong fuck boy. And then the comment under it was, I hate niggas that beat women, but you never see them putting any hands on no nigga. Well, there's an A in there that doesn't need to be there. Never push a loyal person to the point where they no longer give a fuck. So, then she deleted that and then posted this. Accept what is, let go of what was, have faith in what will be. Okay, girl.
Right.
I mean, this is all, you know, this is alleged. We don't know that this happened for real or for fake. We don't know what happened, but this is what she put up. And yeah, do you see that in Ray J for him to be abusive?
I don't. I don't know. But I mean, I don't know him, but I really don't see that coming from him. But then again, you never know. Like,
you really never know.
Is it like accusations like this are just so serious? And like, if something didn't happen, or if it, I don't know what to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very, very serious accusation to, you know, to make a claim about, and I don't know. And it's like, girl, why, let me not say that, because sometimes you're too scared to even, like, report it
True.
To the cops or things like that, so I'm not going to say why she did or didn't. But this is a bomb that you drop, and then you go and delete it. Like, don't do that.
Right.
You know, and you should have thought about it. Yeah, you were angry. I don't know. People need to stop and, like, really take a breath before they do anything while they're angry, because you're most likely going to regret what you do when you're angry. And this was one of the things. Mm-hmm. She regretted it and then deleted it. So we'll see what happens next. I wonder if Ray J has, you know, anything to say back about it.
Yeah, me too.
In response, because that's a pretty heavy-duty thing to have, you know, someone say about you. Ooh, Love and Hip Hop, child. Love and Hip Hop, Hollywood. It's a lot of baby drama.
Yeah.
Like, they're too so, much. And they're so young. All of these people are so young. Like, well, I mean, for Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta, those people were pretty old, except for Jocelyn. I mean, she says she's 27. I don't know if she's really 27, but everybody else was in, you know, in their, and, I mean, but K. Michelle's no longer on that one, but everybody else was in their 40s.
Yeah,
so they're pretty old. They're like older on there. This one, they're so young, and they've got all these kids, and this one don't be with her child, and this one got a baby by somebody else, but it's just a lot. It's so much.
A whole lot.
Yeah. Do you like this installment of Love and Hip Hop?
I actually do.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I don't know. It's a little... I mean, granted, it's like the same issues. You know, you have the mother drama, you have the love triangle. There's two love triangles, pretty much, like with that new girl. I think her name is like Nikki, or I don't know, with that producer or something like
yeah.
that. I don't know. Something about it just even though it's like the same issues, it still feels different. And I don't know if it is because of the new scenery or because it is a new cast or whatever, but I do like it.
Me too. It's very entertaining, I must say. I'm curious to see how it's all gonna fold out with the whole, especially this love triangle, because this one is very apparent where the guy's just like flat out lying.
Yeah, yeah.
To both women. So I'm curious to see how it's gonna unfold when they do find out about each other.
You know what I can't stand? I can't stand how that girl came at, what is her name? Like Maltese or something like that. How she came at her, or like was talking about her, like handle that with your man or your supposed man who's clearly saying different things to this girl. Like whether or not she was with this man, like in his bed, how does she get in the house? How does she get with him? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Don't come at her like on some, oh, she knows that's my man and she knows that we're together. Like, you just said to yourself that y'all was broken up.
Exactly.
So like, what's the problem?
She's the problem. That's the
Yeah,
problem.
Yeah.
Like, you need to figure your life out.
She looks like that girl from Blood, Sweat, Heels.
She does. Mm-hmm. She does.
I couldn't figure it out the second episode, but by Monday night or whatever, I was like, oh, she look like that crazy girl from Bus Like Heels.
Mm. Yes. That's exactly Lord, what Lord. It's like. Good job.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah. So
yeah, moving on.
All right. So we've got some current events for you guys. Mm-hmm. What do we have?
Today, Michael Dunn, who was on trial for the murder of Jordan Davis. They're from Florida, correct?
Yeah.
Florida. He shot him in the car for, I guess, refusing to turn his music down. He was tried earlier this year or last year. He was found, it was a mistrial, and so tried him again, and he was found guilty today of that murder. First degree murder. Which is, it's like, you know, another bout, we have justice, I guess, well, as much justice as we can have, like, in these instances, like, first with Venetia McBride, and now with Jordan Davis. I mean, it sucks that they had to go through a mistrial, and they didn't get all this up the first time. I mean, right. It sucks that we had to go through this at all, but at least he was found guilty, and he'll be sentenced later this month.
Great. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's going to see the light of day ever again. No,
it says that he'll face a minimum of 25 to life.
Yeah. So, and I don't know how old he is, actually.
47.
47. So by the time he gets out, if he were to get the minimum sentence, which is 25 years, he'd be in his 70s. Mm-hmm. It's just good. It's a little bit of redemption, like you said, you know, having some justice. However, we still got a lot of injustices that we're dealing with. But we want to thank the jury for doing their job and working diligently to get justice for Jordan Davis, because that poor child should not, you know, he should still be here.
Right.
And Michael Dunn going to jail is going to bring Jordan back, but at least this is probably going to give his family, Jordan Davis's family, a little bit of solace knowing that this man was convicted of first-degree murder. First-degree murder is not like, oh, it was done by mistake.
Like manslaughter.
Yeah, it's not manslaughter. It's not second-degree where, you know, like, I thought about it maybe a little bit and then, you know, no. First-degree, they figured out. They determined that he planned this. Even if it was a 15-second plan, he did plan it. And he did it, and justice was served. So, if anything, that makes me a little happy. It's sad that Jordan Davis is not with us anymore, but this does make me a little happy that we've got justice for him. And I hope that when it comes time to give him for the punitive portion of the trial, that the jury does right by the family as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. What else do we have?
Enough with the heavy duty stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, well, we've got another story, which is, it's kind of sad. However, it's happy. It ends happy. So there was a missing child, Sabrina Allen, and she had gone missing 12 years ago. And she was found in Mexico. She'd been missing for more than a decade and was reportedly found after a daring rescue operation in Mexico. Sabrina Allen was brought back to Austin, Texas, Tuesday night, according to Fox Austin. Allen was taken only 1 month before her fifth birthday by Dara Yorans, who is also reportedly in custody. The rescue mission included the FBI, U.S. Marshals, and Mexican authorities, sources told the station. Both the teen and her mother were brought back to the U.S. on a commercial flight. They were found southeast of Mexico City. The then 4-year-old girl was taken from the father, Greg Allen, by Yorans, his estranged wife, according to findsabrina.org. Father and daughter have yet to be reunited, and mother is in jail. The girl was rescued, was almost rescued from Yorans, in Mexico City in June of 2003, when they were found living under the assumed names Blanca Aura Fabian Uribe and Adriana Fabian Uribe. And according to the site, but they eluded capture. Yorans has spent the last decade cutting and dyeing Sabrina Allen's previously long blonde hair, authorities said. The woman is Sabrina Allen's non-custodial mother. The pair had last been seen in Mexico City on June 13th of 2003. Yorns took the girl at the end of a six-month period of court-supervised visitations, according to findsabrina.org. And then Yorns had previously threatened to flee the country with the young girl and had a mental health evaluation, which revealed that she had a personality disorder. Mm. The young girl was known to have attended a preschool in Mexico City, but no evidence of further education has been uncovered. Sabrina Allen is believed by officials to be malnourished and poor mental and physical health. Poor thing. So now she's back with her, well, she hasn't been reunited with her dad, but now she's back in the state. So basically the mother and father were estranged and the mother took her daughter away to a different country and the father didn't know where they were. And now she's back.
Wow. Well, glad she's back.
Yeah, glad she's back.
Whoa. Yeah. 10 years?
10 years.
That's like them girls last year who got found. Yeah. The Barry sisters.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's always awful, like, your child to be gone for so long and, you know, if this guy for some reason kept hope alive that his daughter was still alive. I mean, he kind of knew where she was, so I'm sure he was hoping that his estranged wife wouldn't have brought any harm to his daughter. But it's just a beautiful thing when you see these stories and they were gone for 16 years, but the family kept hope alive and then they come back. I don't know what they did for those 16 years of knowing that their child wasn't there, you know, or didn't know where their child was, excuse me, and their child comes back. That's what really baffles me. Like, wow, this person was gone for 16 years. What were you guys thinking for these past 16 years? How did you make it through each and every day for 10 years in Sabrina Allen's case? What did the father do? My goodness. Mm. But we're happy that Sabrina's back.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's back, and hopefully they'll get her the mental health and the nourishment that she needs to get her back into 100% tip-top shape.
Whew.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, moving on. So, what's next?
What's next is Today I Learned.
Today I Learned. Woo. What did you learn today?
All right, so, you know, when you go to a party and everything like that, one of the staples is the red cup.
Yes.
So, where did the red cups come from?
I don't know.
So, it seems like the leading producer of party cups is the Solo Cup Company. And they were first created in 1936 by a former Dixie Company employee named Leo Holzman. I associate Dixie Cups with, like, the dentist.
Do you really?
Uh-huh, because, you know, like, the little itty-bitty ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do.
Okay.
Or if you just have to, like, rinse your mouth. That's just me. But they started making wax line cups that were designed for fountain sodas. And then along in the 60s and the 70s, more cups were created. But in the 1970s, that's when the red Solo cup was first marketed as a recreational drink container. Okay. 60% of the Solo cup party cup sales are for the red variety, and red has been Solo's best-selling color since the beginning. There are many theories as to why. Kim Healy, VP of Consumer Business for Solo, was only able to confirm as fact that they were the first company to introduce a party cup before saying, I've been here 12 years, and I've tested this over and over. Consumers prefer red, and it's not very close. I think, for one thing, it's a neutral color that's appealing to both men and women. It's also just become a standard. And some also believe that red's signification as a color with intensity and energy might play a part, which might explain why Solo turned its original, almost maroon red cups into a brighter red as time went on.
Mm-hmm.
And it also seems that in 1999, when American Pie premiered or debuted, they were actually the first movie to portray red cups as a staple of American parties. So, maybe it was the movie.
Maybe.
I don't know. But some other, I guess, AmericanPartyCups.com, since Yeah, that's a website. They said, well, they have a question on their fact section, and they said, the question is, why are the cups red? And they said, well, if you had a clear cup, you'd be able to see what was in your cup. So by making it red, you can easily conceal what you're drinking. It's simple as that. Like, okay. But I just think it's probably because it was in the movies. I honestly can't remember red cups like that before American Pie. But then again, I wasn't drinking when I was in eighth grade. So, yeah. So I don't know. But I feel like it's plausible. Like, what else are you going to play beer pong with?
Right. Exactly. And then if you don't want people to know what is in your cup.
As Lil Wayne said, it's exactly. My cup.
Exactly. Exactly. So, if you don't, and that's like the perfect cup because you can put anything in there and nobody will know what's in there.
Right. And you know, I probably do feel like people buy red because it's a more neutral color because they also do have blue.
Yeah, they do have blue.
And I've never seen anyone pick up blue cups like that before, so.
Oh, well, then you haven't been to a.
Oh, you know, I mean, like a general party, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure, you know. Frats of whatever color, yeah. We'll choose whatever color, but I'm saying like just a general party. I've never really seen blue cups.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Red is the way to go, and that's the one that's always out there anyway. Red is the one that you see most. Like, if anything, there'll be like two columns of red and then just one column of blue. So people are going to go for the red anyway, and plus that's what we know. It's like the staple, the red cup party, like, they even have now where it's like a actual, not a disposable red cup.
Yeah.
It's a hard red cup. Like, that's the party cup.
Yeah.
So, I'm here for it. I wish there was a red cup. I want to throw a red cup party now. That'd be so much fun. Just bring whatever you want, put it in your red cup, and we're just going to mingle and talk.
I like it. And you know, we might have the perfect drink for that later on in the show.
Definitely.
I think it's good for this.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
All right, what did you learn?
Okay, so, you know, football is back. Everybody's excited, I know. Football's back. But, you know, a lot of people, well, Ari, you're starting to learn about football now because now you want to like football, right?
I learned for like 10 minutes. Yes. But yes.
Well, we're going to learn something else.
All right. Learn
me. Are you ready to make a claim on who your team is yet?
I made the claim, and the Pittsburgh Steelers is my team.
Good. Because it's always good to have a team to be rooting for, because then you'll like the sport more. If you don't have a team to root for, you're not going to care. But now that you have a team to root for, and I hope that you've been watching the games and keeping scores, and I need you to get the SportsCenter app on your phone and get updates about
me?
Your team. Yeah, you. And then you can be mad, like, oh man, Ben Roethlisberger, whatever it's what. You know, you need to get upset. Oh man, the assistant coach had the stomach flu.
Okay. All right.
You gotta really get into it.
All
since
right.
You're now a new football fan. But here's something that I learned today. So why do American football players say, hut, hut, hut?
Ooh, tell us.
An integral part of the game immediately prior to the start of a play, the football quarterback begins his cadence more than just hut. The offensive leader on the field uses short commands to prepare the team, adjust to the defense's lineup, and even change the play, whether it's 53 is the mic, Omaha, red, 32, set, or hike. Each shout is an important tool in the quarterback's bag of tricks. The short words. Well, the most well-known cadence is hike, was the brainchild of John Heisman of the eponymous trophy. Prior to its introduction, commonly the quarterback signaled the center to give him the ball by simply scratching the center's leg. That's weird. Ew. During the 1890-1891 season, Heisman was playing center for the University of Pennsylvania when a leg scratch from an opposing player tricked into hiking early. So, to fix the problem, Heisman introduced using a word to start the snap, and that it be hike, which already meant to lift up and also had the added benefit of being a short, sharp sound. Hut was later was a later introduction, although by the 1950s it was commonly used in football. Linguists trace its origin back to military cadence, particularly of World War II, when drill sergeants would holler a 10 hut. Another short, sharp sound, and it was perfect for preparing the team for battle. Sharply yelling single-syllable words to get attention has a long history. Early on, animals were directed with such commands, and still are today, and common locutions included hup, hip, and hep, with hups.
Oh my gosh, I cannot. with none of it.
Other short football commands include set, after which the linemen get into their stance, and move, which may direct many players to adjust according to a planned shift, or could just stir a few to action. Example granted, the tight ends assume a three-point stance. So the longer phrases. Colors and numbers frequently used in combinations, such as green 19, blue 82, and 43-2, for any number of reasons. Sometimes the phrase indicates an audible change in the play called at the line of scrimmage to adjust to a troubling defensive scheme, and other times it clues players into their blocking assignments. Often the phrase will put a receiver in motion or simply designate when the ball is about to be snapped. And a snap, Ari, is when the ball is going to be thrown out, like the quarterback is going to throw the ball. That's what a snap is.
Yeah.
Okay. So even though one color is live, other colors will be used, gibberish, to distract and confuse the defense, and sometimes even to cause them to jump offsides if used with a hard count. Example green. Granted, if green is the live color, blue 18, hut, the live color can be any color, although according to Brett Favre, a lot of teams use black or red as a hot. When you hear that, there's an audible coming. Nonetheless, as he concludes, everyone's different. So basically, that's what the hype is about. That's where it came from. It started off with Heisman changing the hype, and then hut is basically just to get their attention and get them ready to go.
He's just like the ultimate, or was the ultimate football player.
He was, yeah. He was the ultimate football player. Definitely. Like,
okay, guy, thank you.
Yeah.
You are so, a trailblazer. You got right. Your trophy, and you did the whole hike.
Right, and you got your little running stance.
Right.
Yeah, the Heisman. I mean, he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy. And I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something about it, but never mind. I forgot.
Sorry.
I can't remember what it was that I wanted to say. Boo.
That happens.
Yeah, whatever. I'm getting old.
Oh, dear.
I'm experiencing some lost in the sauce. That's what my mom says.
It definitely happens. It's well... fun. With that,
yeah. We hope you guys learned something new today.
Definitely. We hope you learn something new every day.
Yes.
But always when you listen to us.
Definitely. If you don't, yeah, you at least are going to learn something when you listen to us, for
right.
Sure. Yes.
So, does that mean it's TV time?
Yes, it does. Hope you guys have done your homework and your chores, because it's TV time. What do we have on TV time?
I don't know if you saw, but The Real Housewives of Atlanta Season 7 trailer was released by Bravo today.
I have not seen it, and I can't even freaking believe that there's already a trailer for Season 7.
It debuts November 9th at 8 p.m., I'ma be there, or I'ma be square. Hopefully I'm there. Because this season looks crazy.
For real?
Alright, so let me just get into a couple of the things that, you know, we see in the trailer. So, of course, Phaedra is gonna have her little, with her, you know, her marital issues because her husband gotta go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Candy and Todd, they're in their first year of marriage. Portia, I guess she's not, like, an actual Georgia Peach. She's one of those, like, supporting characters, but she's still going to be on the show.
Okay.
Portia's member is Claudia Jordan.
Mm.
You're not feeling her?
No, I don't really like her. And she's also now, like, she's taken over Ebony Steele's spot on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. And I just don't like her dynamic. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of her. I think she used to be like a video vixen or whatever, fitness model, whatever you call them. And then she was a Price is Right girl for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was just like, how did she get onto TV? And then she had that show that she hosted with Tamar. And then her and Tamar got into it. It was like Tamar, Tiny.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Jordan and
Tiny show, right?
Yeah. And then she
Tiny
got into
Tonight.
It with Tamar. So, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't understand where she came from. Whatever. Anyway,
well,
tell me now.
In the trailer, she was taking a selfie with Cordell Stewart.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh,
and there is another guy, but he goes by the name of Roger Bob with two B's, that's his last name, and he used to work with Tyler Perry Studios. He was like the VP of something, but now he has his own production company, like film and TV production company, and it looks like Kenya, I guess she's not with her African prince boyfriend anymore, but it looks like she was, you know, trying to cozy up to him a little bit. But then in another scene, we see he's, like, dating Claudia. So it's like, what is going on?
Oh, girl.
Candy's mama, of course, is the same. But Ty's mom is going to be in this, too. And, like, she is just fed the fuck up with Mama Joyce by this point. So you got the old ladies going at it. Cynthia burns her friendship contract that she had with Nene and like literally burnt it, like set session on fire.
No.
Yes. And so it, I don't know, it, based off of the trailer, it looks like Nene kind of seems like blindsided by their friendship going up in flames. Oh snap. Oh, why didn't I write that? Cynthia is like, I'm unfriending and I'm unfollowing and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Oh, but then it ends the way it ends now. Oh, wait. Apollo accuses Phaedra of having an affair with some guy and they all know about it because they're all talking about it. And then in the trailer, Kenya brings it up at the table that they're all sitting at. And she was just like, yeah, because you have an affair with that African man. And so Phaedra was like, oh, really? And then she, like, pretty much lunges at Kenya from across the table.
Oh, my God.
And then the last little bit that we get, you know, there was Apollo. He had to turn himself over to the police, but in the reports that came out, they were saying that he didn't do it on time and that he actually went to Phaedra's house and he confronted her. And they show that on the show, in the trailer.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it looks like this season is gonna be insane.
Whoa.
Insane. And I'm so ready for it.
Me too, honey. That's my best favorite book. Everybody knows. Oh my goodness.
Everybody knows.
Wow. I can't wait to I'm gonna watch it. As soon as we're done recording this, I'm gonna go watch it.
Yes, child. I'm gonna do it in my favorite voice. Lord.
Oh my God, you know what? Phaedra is such trash. I just cannot stand her. So hideous.
It's not even about to get messy. All of their stories is messy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So what else do we have in TV land?
Well, what we have, okay, Starz is really doing it.
They
so if you haven't watched Power yet, boo-boo to you. Like, what are you doing? What are you waiting on? Starz, Power is an amazing show, so you need to watch it. And now, Starz has another amazing show, and it's called Survivor's Remorse.
Yes.
And, you know, let me look it up so I can tell you guys, give you guys a B.O.B. about it, a back of the box about Survivor's Remorse, because I couldn't, you know what, I couldn't explain it to you and give it any justice, because the show is so, so good. It's a Starz original series. You know, Starz didn't used to be known for their original series.
No.
But now they are. So it's going to be a 6-episode half-hour comedy series, which follows Cam Calloway, played by Jesse T. Usher.
Who is cute.
He is so cute. a basketball phenom in his early 20s who was suddenly thrust into the limelight after signing a multi-million-dollar contract with a professional basketball team in Atlanta. Cam, along with his cousin and confidant, Reggie Vaughn, who's played by Ron Ricco-Lee. I never knew how to like pronounce his name. Was it Ron Ricco?
I feel like I've heard Ron Ricco.
Okay, so Ron Ricco, the guy who used to play Tia's boyfriend on Sister, moved to Georgia to start Cam's journey to success. The two confront the challenges of carrying opportunistic family members and their strong ties to the impoverished community that they come from. Cam, Reggie, and an unforgettable group of characters wrestle with the rewards and pitfalls of stardom, love, and loyalty. The series is executive produced by Michael Malley, Tom Warner, Maverick Carter, Paul Watcher, and the cast includes Mike Epps, Tashina Arnold, Tiana Paris, that nobody knows, and Erica Ash, who nobody knows.
Did you say LeBron James?
No, I didn't say LeBron James.
Because, yeah, he's executive producing too.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't say that here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, check him out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, so LeBron James, too. Check him out. It doesn't say that, so I didn't know that. Cool. Yeah, it's a really good show. I saw commercials for it, and the only person I was really leery about was Mike Epps because I do not like his acting. However, the way that they wrote his lines in this show, it's phenomenal. It's perfect. It's perfect for him. Just the right amount of Mike Epps. And so basically they grew up in the hood of Boston, and then Cam gets signed to, you know, a team in Atlanta. And so he moves his mama out of the hood, and his uncle and his sister and his cousin, who basically is kind of like his brother and his manager. He's got a lot of, like, money smarts and, you know, is very, you know, economical when it comes to this kind of stuff, and also knows, and he's, like, public relations as well. So it's a really good show. I don't want to even tell you guys the plot, because if I start to tell you a plot of the episode one, I'm probably going to give away what happens in the show. All I can say is to go and watch it. What did you think about it, Ari?
I absolutely love the show. Like, the show, it's like a mix of Entourage meets The Game, I guess, to give a little bit of a different, to give you a feel for it without spoiling it.
Right.
And I have I guess, like, I definitely did compare it to Entourage for the first 2 episodes, and I'm sure I'll stop doing that, like, once the show continues, but I thought the premiere episode was so good. And what I was pleasantly surprised by, what do we say his name was? Ron Ricco, by his role, because, like, I've only seen him in, like, bit parts, like, on Sister, and a little bit on, Girlfriends, or a little bit here and there, but, like, so I feel like I really haven't been able to see his acting skills. So I think I was hesitant about him versus Mike Epps. Okay. And I like his character the most on the show. Like, I think he does such a good job with playing his cousin. And I feel like he's really believable.
Definitely.
I really love his character already.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
And he's funny. Like even just comparing him to E from Entourage, like, E was whiny and annoying. And, like, he just walks so fast because he's short like me and his legs can go far. Like, he was just, like all the way around annoying. But I can't remember. Do you remember what his character's name was?
In the his cousin?
Yeah.
Reggie.
Well, Reggie is smart and funny. And he definitely has his flaws, and we see it, like, working out with his wife and everything like that, but he just did a really good job. I'll tell you right now, I don't like the sister.
I definitely don't like the sister.
I don't like his sister. They're from Boston, and I'm from New England. I've met black people from Boston. I have never heard of no black person with no Boston-ass accent, and that's what his sister has, and it's, like, so weird. Like, it just doesn't even sound right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Comes to my ears, but I can't wait to see how the show is gonna pan out, and, like, I'm ready to already rewatch the episodes again.
Yeah, because, It doesn't premiere until the 4th
of October? This Saturday.
Yeah, so this Saturday. But the first two episodes were put on stars.com and also on YouTube, for, you know, to entice people to watch. And I definitely watched because it was great.
I'm so glad that you liked it.
No, I was looking forward to it because when I was watching Power, I would see commercials for it. I just forgot the name of the show because to me, I still don't, I'm going to be honest, I still don't quite understand why it's called Survivor's Remorse. And I'm hoping that I'm going to get an explanation as to why it's called that.
Yeah.
And so that's why when you told me you were like, Survivor's Remorse is so good, I was like, what show is that? And you were like, oh, it's from Stars. And I was like, oh, yeah, the show with Tia's boyfriend from,
yes. Yeah. I feel like he'll always be known as Tia's boyfriend.
What happened?
I said, I feel like he'll always be known as Tia's boyfriend.
He'll always be that. Yep. That's who he will always be. Sorry, Ron McCoe.
Our bad.
Sorry. Yeah, so I still don't understand what Survivor's Remorse is. Maybe this is a term or a phrase that means leaving the hood and, you know, taking care of your family. Maybe that's what that term means, but I'm not familiar with it. And so the name of the show didn't stick with me. But I was definitely looking forward to it when I saw the commercials on Stars while I was watching Power. So it's a really good show, and I'm so impressed with Stars. I really am.
Yeah. They're about to get a new HBO.
These series that they're pumping out, it's great.
It's about to be the black HBO.
I know, that's right.
With these shows.
I love it. I'm here for all of it. Every last bit of it. So definitely go check that out. And ladies, and I know some of you guys are watching Real Housewives too. The trailer's up, so definitely go check it out. Let us know what you think. And let us know if you guys are ready for season 7, which is unbelievable to me that it's going to be season 7 of Real Housewives.
Seven, man.
Wow. Woo! That is wild. What was I going to ask you about it? Another question that's just left my mind. Never mind.
Oh, my gosh.
This is terrible. I need a nap. That's what it is.
Probably.
Yeah. that's what I was going to ask. So is Nene, because I remember there was a lot of like speculation that Nene wasn't going to have a peach this year. Does she have a peach?
I'm going to assume she does.
So Nene has a peach, but Portia doesn't have a peach.
Right.
And you said that she, on Instagram, she posted a picture?
Yeah, she posted a picture on her Instagram saying, like, she no longer has a peach because she's going to be focused on her work. And she is one of the co-hosts on Dish Nation, which is like a morning radio show kind of thing. They have different hosts throughout the day.
So is that her Christian radio thing, whatever that she is, that like, is that what that is? Is it a Christian show?
I don't believe so, because I've seen it in the morning, like they're on TV too, and they'll have like these white people in the morning, and then sometimes like Ricky Smiley will be on and stuff. So no, because they be talking about ratchet stuff on Ricky Smiley, and I know he's not Christian radio.
He sure ain't. He's talking about a bunch of ratchet stuff on there.
Yes.
Yeah, because I remember she had been put under fire for something that she had said about gay people while she was hosting some show. So I was wondering if it was, or maybe it could have been on Dish Network. But I thought she was talking about her Christian values. I didn't really read it because I don't even like Portia that much, so I don't care. But I had heard it in passing. And then I saw something like quickly, you know, come across my timeline about how she was being blasted for saying whatever she had said about gay people on her show. Whatever. I don't really like her. She's just a dumb piece of pudding.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I got it from the Goonies.
I've never seen the Goonies.
What?
I'm just kidding. I've seen it and I loved it, and it's one of my
favorite movies. Don't you even dare ever. Do that. You haven't seen the Goonies?
I haven't seen the Goonies.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Your childhood, you don't have one. You don't have a childhood. You've been an adult all your life.
That's rude. That's rude.
You've just been an adult. You came out of the womb, signing checks, and
how do you strip me of my whole childhood?
I will do that because we're gonna have a movie night, and then you can say you were a child at one point in your life.
Also, so when we have this,
you have to see the Goonies.
When we have this movie night, am I supposed to like regress back to be like a 10-year-old? Like, how is this gonna work?
Yeah, that's basically what you're supposed to do. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
It's such a great movie.
Who's that's in the Goonies? Movie
you watch when you're going away to like camp or when you're going to like a field trip, a long road trip. You watch that movie, you watch the Goonies, even though you're 17, they still make you watch it because it's one of your favorite movies. Oh man.
My bad. Oh. I know. All right.
Okay. We're gonna have a movie night and we're gonna settle this. We need to fix this.
Okay.
Yeah, because at this point in time, right now, you're like 56 years old because you've never seen the movie.
Damn. Okay. I know I'm not the only one who has not seen the Goonies. Please let me know, listeners out there, that I am not the only one who has never seen the Goonies.
Don't you guys write in talking about something y'all have never seen it, because we're gonna have a very big issue.
I'll send you a prize or something like that. On Twitter.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay. Ari's going to watch the Goonies. I don't know when, but we're going to have a movie night, and then we're going to talk about it on the show the next time.
Is it on Netflix?
And hopefully it will have the same impact. You're going to definitely have to, like, be in the child mindset. Like, one of those. Like, did you see Sandlot?
Yes.
Okay, you've seen Sandlot. And do you like it? Like, every time you watch it, you just feel kind of like a kid again?
I like Sandlot, yeah.
So you have to put yourself in that mind frame where you're like, I'm a kid again, I'm 10 years old, I'm eating. What's your favorite candy to eat when you watch movies?
Sour Patch Watermelon.
There you go. Well, we didn't have those back then when we were 10 years old. What did you eat when you were 10?
Milk Duds.
Okay, so we're going to get you some Milk Duds. And you're gonna eat your Milk Duds and watch the movie. So you're gonna feel like a big old kid. We're gonna turn off the lights. I'm even gonna pop popcorn so it'll feel like you're really at the movies.
I'm all for it.
Great.
Can we do this though? Like, you know, we can have like, you know, kid stuff, but then just have our adult snacks. Like, can I have something to drink?
You can have an alcoholic beverage. I'm never against that.
I can have or what about like we could do the mulled apple cider or something like that, like, or hot chocolate with that's spiked. So it's still kid but not. And
definitely.
I'll wear slitty pajamas.
So cool. That's definitely something that we should do. We should try to find like kiddie drinks and make them adult.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. All right, so we're going to be moving on.
Okay.
So this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month and Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Yes.
Men, don't tune out, because men actually can get breast cancer as well. So it's very rare, but it can happen. So don't tune out. Breast cancer is the second most common kind of cancer in women, and about 1 in 8 women born today in the United States will get breast cancer at some point. The good news is that many women can survive breast cancer if it's found and treated early. A mammogram, the screening test for breast cancer, can help find breast cancer early when it's easier to treat. National Breast Cancer Awareness Month is a chance to raise awareness about the importance of early detection of breast cancer. Make a difference. Spread the word about mammograms and encourage communities, organizations, families, and individuals to get involved. Okay, and African-American women are more prone to get breast cancer than Caucasian. And we want to encourage women ages 40 to 49 to talk with their doctor about when to start getting mammograms. And, you know, participate in the walks. There's a Susan G. Komen walk coming up, and it's usually done in October. I'm sure you can find it anywhere in your city. And if you can't walk, you can do a sleep, like a, there's a sleep in, and just get people to, you know, sponsor you for your sleep in. Sponsor you to sleep? Sign me up.
Hello.
Like, hello. And, or you can, you know, go to the walk, or you can be a sponsor. Send some money, donate to the cause. You know, we need to eradicate this. Cancer sucks, and breast cancer really sucks. So, we need to find a cure, and we need to do what we can to help save the tatas.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's do that. And what else do we have? What we had, it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Yes, it's National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is very important, especially considering everything that's been going on in the news about domestic violence. So the White House actually issued a press release about it, and they said, domestic violence affects every American. It harms our communities, weakens the foundation of our nation, and hurts those we love most. It's an affront to our basic decency and humanity, and it must end. During National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we acknowledge the progress made in reducing those shameful crimes, embrace the basic human right to be free from violence and abuse, and recognize that more work remains until every individual is able to live free from fear. Last month, our nation marked the 20th anniversary of the Violence Against Women Act. Before this historic law, domestic violence was seen by many as a lesser offense, and women in danger often had nowhere to go. But with the Violence Against Women Act marked as a turning point, it slowly transformed the way people think about domestic abuse. Today, as one out of every 10 teenagers are physically hurt on purpose by someone they are dating, we seek to once again profoundly change our culture and reject the quiet tolerance that is fundamentally unacceptable. So they go on. So if you want to see the rest of that, is at whitehouse.gov. But I think that that's like the biggest thing. Their last sentence: we want to change our culture and reject the quiet tolerance of what's fundamentally unacceptable.
Definitely, definitely. So again, if you can, you know, volunteer at your local women's shelter. Do whatever you can. Just, you know, be out there and be vigilant and, you know, stopping the jokes about domestic violence is actually a way to bring awareness about domestic violence. A lot of people think that domestic violence is funny, and it's not.
No.
There's nothing funny about it. And you may not have experienced it, so you don't really understand why people would stay or why people wouldn't, you know, why people would endure these kind of things. And a lot of the times these women have Stockholm syndrome, and their abusers have made them think that they can't leave. And they don't. And also, as far as like Stockholm syndrome, they're in love with their abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think that them being, you know, abused or whatever is some kind of, is their way, or is their abuser's way of showing their love. And they've confused it. So it's dysfunctional, and just stopping the jokes about it. If you see something, say something, like they say on the news. On the trains, if you see something, say something. A lot of people want to turn their heads and like, oh, that's not my business. It is your business when somebody's getting hurt, because you know what? Your one phone call could have saved somebody's life.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
If you know someone who is going through domestic violence, there's a number to call. There's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. It's 1-800-799-SAFE, or you can visit thehotline.org. More information. And to speak with counselors,
please.
And get assistance.
Definitely. You may not be equipped to be able to help your friend that's in going through a domestic violence situation, but these people can, and hopefully you can get your friend the help that they need. And also, something else that's not funny, men do experience domestic violence as well. It can go both ways, And so a man, it should not, you know, a man should not be ridiculed because he's being abused by his woman or by his, you know, significant other who is a female. It goes both ways. So definitely, you know, be aware and do whatever you can to try to stop domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, we've made you guys aware, and now I think it's time for our cocktail. And you know what? We didn't name the cocktail, but I think that we should call it the Red Cup Party.
I love it. Let's go with that.
Great. So, the drink of the week is the Red Cup Party.
You heard it here first.
So, what you're going to need for the Red Cup Party is 3 bottles of 3 Blue Moon Harvest Pumpkin Ale. Half a bottle of Martinelli Sparkling Cider, 4 cinnamon sticks, 4 lemon wedges, and a sprinkle of cinnamon. Start with a cinnamon stick. Place one in each glass, or in our case, you can put it in a red cup. next, you're going to pour the Blue Moon Ale into the cup and until it's about 3/4 full. Next, add the cider, and you want a little bit of foam, so don't worry about the extra bubbles. Squeeze a little bit of lemon on top and place the wedges on the cup, excuse me, for garnish. And there you have it. And you can sprinkle a little bit of the cinnamon in the drink. Mix it up with the cinnamon stick. Oh, lovely drink, Red Cup Party.
I can't wait to try this.
Me too. I'm so excited about this. So excited. Like, I can't even think right now.
I never really thought about apples and pumpkin together. Can you imagine, like, what an apple pumpkin pie must taste like? Do you think it tastes good?
I'm sure it's heavenly.
If that sweet potato apple pie was amazing. Right. And that still might be, like, the best pie that I've ever had in my entire life.
The best pie.
Not sure. Even exaggerating. So I'm sure that a pumpkin apple pie would taste really good as well.
I think so, too. I think it would be phenomenal together.
Oh, man. 420 Blackbirds needs to hurry up and have that pie back again.
They need to come on with it.
Because they need to have it, like, all year round.
Right, right.
I mean, shoot, they should. Apples are in season now.
Yeah, right, right. And sweet potatoes, I don't think they ever go out of season.
Right. The word of the day is right.
Right.
Bitch, you guessed it.
Woo! Yeah, let's get that pie going, 420 Blackbird. Come on, let's get with it.
Oh, man.
Is that the end of our show?
That is the end of our show. Yeah.
That was great. And that's what she said.
Oh, snap. There we go. Has to fit one in, and that's what he said.
Oh, my gosh.
You nasty girl. You nasty. All right. We have to go. But before we do, where can we find you, Dee Dee?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Lucky Stars, LuckyStarz. And where can we find you, Ari?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Cherie or on my blog at overquirkedandunfazed.com. Yep. What was that? What? Was that you?
Yeah, I said yeah. Oh.
That sounded like a meow. Did you meow?
No, oh, I didn't. Oh, but meow.
Oh, I thought you had a real cat. Okay. And you can find us, the show, on Twitter at catnaps, the letter N, cognac. You can send us an email at catnaps.ncognac@gmail.com. You can visit our podcast at catnapsandcognac.podbean.com. You can search for us on the Spreaker Network, Catnaps and Cognac, as well. We're also on iTunes. We're all up in your face. We're all up in your ears. We're all up in your grill. Or all of that. And more.
Yeah.
So that's that. Did I miss anything?
That's that.
Cannot really be
explained. That's it.
I didn't miss anything, right?
Nope, you got everything.
Okay. Well, all right. On that note, see you guys later.
Yo, got a cute face. Her friend got a nice body. They just wanna have fun. This is my type of party. 20 bitches in the lobby. There's plenty bitches in the lobby. They all drinking, they smoking. This my type of party. My car just pushed to start it. But I don't even wanna start it. These Versace shades retarded. I can buy your apartment. I'm buying out the department. It's changing all the compartments. Switch lanes on niggas in charge. Switch chains on niggas with hardy.